Hello and welcome to The Deep End with Benjamin Boyce and Leslie Elliott. Leslie, welcome aboard. How are you doing today?
Oh, thanks so much. I'm doing great. How are you?
I am about to find out.
You are? You don't know
Yeah,
how
I
you
don't know
are?
what's going to come out of my mouth when we do
I
these
know. I
things.
never know either. You cleaned up your shirt.
I clamped my shirt, I found a hat, got the audio
Got
to
the
work.
microphone working?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, what
Deep
was
end, take
it?
two.
Yeah, Deep End 16, take two.
Tip. Yep.
As you can see, oh
What can I see?
were we going to talk about? There's so many things in my mind, and then I saw like the little board game in the frame. But I'm going
Oh,
to wait
yeah.
till later on
Wait.
because you're not into that. I'm
You
into
keep
that.
saying I'm not into that, but I don't know if I'm into that because I haven't
I'm
played it.
into it.
I
I'm
know.
super into it.
I know.
Did we ever talk about Dune Part 2 on the stream?
No, we
What were your
didn't.
thoughts on it?
I liked it pretty
Did you like the
well.
first one, I guess?
Yeah, I did. I liked the first one. I liked the book. It's a really good book. I've read it 3 or 4 times, which is more than most books. More than I've read most books. I've read it over and over the years. And I feel like the book also really falls off around the point where the first movie ended. Like the book is not, the story's not as tight after that point, after everything, they go into the desert basically. And I feel like the story is just a little bit more scattered and less interesting at that point.
After Duke Leto dies.
And so I kind of expected the movie to be that way as well.
Yeah, really. Okay, I'll have to I read it once. I was Yeah, well, I started reading it back in 2003 or something like that. I'm like, I just was really into refined literature. And I was really unimpressed with the writing style, and it just was getting in the way. So I like put it down. Plus, they had like this really
Oh.
crumbly copy. And
So did
then,
you never finish it?
not the first time, but then
Oh.
when the movies were about to come out, I picked it up and I just like crammed through it, and I really enjoyed it. It was good. And then I started the second one, and
Yeah.
I'm like, oh no, the writing, the yeah, his he just doesn't seem like he was really caring about the writing itself, and that's my problem as a writer. I care too much about the writing, so my writing
Form
becomes
and
only, yeah, form
substance.
and substance
Yeah.
and flow, you know. So I didn't get back into it, but I can't remember the first one falling off precipitously.
It's been my thought every time I've read it.
Huh.
Yeah.
Interesting.
I just feel like it's a really captivating story up until the big siege,
Okay.
and then it sort of just becomes a bit more, I don't know. I don't know how to articulate it. It's just that it's less interesting. It scatters. The story is looser.
Okay.
That's not as interesting. So I kind of expected the movie to be that way,
Yeah.
and it was. But it was still enjoyable to kind of get back in touch with the characters. And I feel like the cast and the way that this movie was presented, how pretty it is, and how the music is so amazing. And so because I had already accepted this visual
Okay.
and audio framework for the story that I really enjoyed, I enjoyed seeing it continue to be fleshed out. So I didn't have any major criticisms. I know a lot of people, I saw somebody criticizing some of the characters in the story. So what are your thoughts on that?
Well, going back to the book, there's a lot of intrigue stuff and a lot of political stuff, and it never really hit like why all these people are like having all these things. Like, why would Duke Leto go to die? It was really like, why? I was never convinced, like, this is just obviously stupid. And that way kind of reminds me, and I wonder if George R.R. Martin was kind of referencing
That's
that
not
with the
oh, okay, go ahead.
first book of Game of
Okay,
Thrones.
I was like, I don't, I those books are so terrible.
Okay.
I
Well, the first book
just,
is pretty novel and stuff, and the character makes this really stupid decision over and over and over again because he's following honor. And it's just like, why would somebody be so, just because your
I
honor.
hate the Game of Thrones books. I could not stand those. That guy is just a smut peddler. I mean, he really has. I'm sorry. Maybe I'm being too speaking too strongly. I read four of them. I read the first four because my
Yeah, I don't
daughter
like
was
horror.
reading them. I couldn't do them anymore after that. My daughter was reading them. She was in high school at the time, and I was like, "Well, I wonder what she's reading. She's really into these. Let me read them." And I didn't really share any criticisms with her. She was free to choose what she wanted to read, but I really just he's really good at world building and he's good at character development, but then he's got just this sadistic and perverted streak. So he loves to take these beautiful characters and these beautiful scenes that he's set up and then destroy and do terrible things with them and make them do really, I mean, it's just, I couldn't stand the Game of Thrones
Well,
books.
one tact of commenting on that, not that I adhere to it, is that he's trying to do that. He's inverting the Tolkien narrative, right? He's playing around with these expectations and trying to be more realistic and stuff. But there's certainly a sadistic thing, and how much he goes into food, it just on and on, like, oh, here we
Oh, that's
go.
interesting. I
He's
didn't
gonna start
even think
talking
of
about food 5 pages later.
Really?
And then the delectless, succulent piglets or whatever, you know. I don't know. Maybe that I do remember that. I don't know if I'm being
Wooksy.
necessarily accurate to
Wooksy
that.
says the microphone is well adjusted, as are our hosts.
Oh
Thank
yes,
you.
we're
That's
very
really
well
nice.
adjusted.
That's
So
very
yeah,
nice. That's very nice.
well, we adjust each other,
Yeah, well.
at least in the attitude department.
Yeah, that's true. Talking about Dune, yes, Ninja Kitty, did you see it? Aaron wants to know
Well,
if you
let's.
can play D&D tonight.
Okay.
Well, I guess we will have
Yeah, we'll
to.
get around to that. I'm
Yeah,
doing
yeah.
this right now. I don't want to. The distraction
So,
of you.
snacks positivity. You named
Sounds, and yeah, it's self-destructive,
snacks
but that's just
positive.
politics. Okay, yeah, so Scribe Light is defending Duke Leto
Oh,
for
okay.
adhering to principle. But he goes out to this planet, and I'm like, why would he do that, knowing this would happen, you know? And then there's intrigue. But really, the core of the story is about Paul, which is like this protagonist, which really kind of plays on this sense of youthful destiny. Like, what is my destiny? What is ultimate power? And then there's also the awesome character building of like getting more and more powers, and then like kind of unlocking some sort of connection to some sort of deeper truth or deeper history, and having a place and having a time and being a messiah in a way. And I read online after this part two come out, people are going through different iterations on what Villeneuve wanted to do and what Herbert wanted to do with deconstructing the Messiah, deconstructing somebody who can solve our political problems by being an icon of will. And I find that this inability to believe in the nobility of a leader, or the nobility at the root of authority, and trying to struggle with authority as something that is necessary in this world and that can be executed correctly, but that has a high likelihood of magnifying not only the person's nobility, but their innobility, not only their aspirations, but also their decrepitudes, right? It's just power is an amplifier, and the kind of the liberal critique of power always being corrupt, always corrupting, of authority always being somehow imposed on other people and not a necessary aspect of human systems. And without that clear central authority, the radical center of authority nested in a single human being who takes on the responsibility of reforming and championing and doing good for everybody else, without that, you just have a system of power that is not accountable to anyone ever.
I just disagree with that. I don't think that power is an amplifier, pure and simple. I think it's also something that changes the state of things. I think it's an element in and of itself that introduces something new. And I don't think that you're, I think the problem with all of the argu well, a problem with all of the arguments about different sorts of government and this monarchist argument, it's you're never going to set up something that just works. It's always going to be a tension. There's always going to be a balance. There's always going to be falling in and out of balance, falling out of balance, and then a rebalancing. So there's always going to be this process. And I think that it's fundamentally problematic to think that you're going to set something in place that just then works forever.
Well, it's fundamentally problematic to not even enter the discussion because you think that it's a foregone conclusion that it's
No,
all corrupt. So,
I
like,
don't think it's all
okay.
corrupt. I just don't think that I don't at all agree that that monarchy is the answer.
Okay, well, I'm just talking about the exploration of authority that is exemplified by the Messiah nested in Paul Atreides. Like, what is
Mm-hmm.
that? Like, let's look at that. And the shying away from that, or the kind of what Villeneuve did, like by shoehorning in this, there's the fundamentalists, only backwards Southern people believe in authority. Only they who are challenged by power and shown a strong leader
Yeah, that was
are
an
able to
interesting
really
choice.
believe. But the Northern enlightened, still sandy
Kind of the
people.
woke.
Yeah, the woke, what are they called? The woke Fremen. Like, what do they actually believe in? They have to believe in community, but they believe in freedom. It's basically like this kind of desert tarp socialism that they have,
I think
and
he
they want
just
freedom.
articulated that particular tension in a way that is
Yeah.
really
Well, but
contemporary.
I'm interested in the aspiration project of, like, what can be done with power? What can be done with authority? The system we have now has no accountability. It's all kind of just chasing its own tail. It's an oligarchical system that's highly distributed.
Has
And
no accountability. What do you mean?
this constant conversation that I don't know if you have, but I have, about like this so-called deep state, or like, the cathedral, or for whatever reason, the New York Times, NPR, all of Hollywood, and all of the federal government are all woke. They're all just woke, like, why are they all falling into this pattern? How do you change that pattern? If you swap that woke pattern out with a other pattern, would it produce something better in aggregate, even though it's still just a nested system of people who are out for their own good, for their own sake? So I'm just interested in the idea of monarchy as a thought experiment to question our incessant need to question authority.
Well, I think that it's really a problem of centralization, and that it would be the same, a similar problem. You'd still have some kind of bureaucracy set up, even if you had a monarchy. You'd still, if you're trying to govern a whole ton of people, it doesn't really matter if you have a small administration or a single individual with a bunch of administration around them that then turns into a big technocratic bureaucracy. I mean, you're, either way, if you're trying to administer to such a large number of people, you're going to have the same problem of scale. I just don't, I don't know
Well,
how it would be that much different.
I mean, ownership and accountability. Like,
Would you want a king of the world?
I think, I don't know. I don't know what I would want, but I know that our government, our current government, has voted against the will of 70% of Americans to send $60 billion more dollars to these wars that have nothing to do with us, which we all know is just a laundering scheme of that. And that's what Tucker Carlson, there's a few things that we're bringing up from the Tucker Carlson Joe Rogan interview about. He said that it reminded me of what you just said about power being a substance itself, or an entity in and of itself, or a force in and of itself. He said the same thing about evil being a force in and of itself. It's not some sort of thing that you do. It's something that takes over people and that directs them in certain ways, which is just an interesting way of thinking about things. I don't necessarily agree with, but I can see the world through that lens to a certain degree. And I can see that world, that way of looking at power to a certain degree. But I want a good, so within the context of New Dune, if you have like this huge, like, you have the emperor, you have like this political situation that happens, and then the story arc is that this kid has a bunch of promise and has a bunch of responsibility to change the state of the game. And he's given a position to change the state of the game. But at the beginning, right before as he's going ascending up to in a position of power, he's completely brought low. He's completely just stripped of all vestiges of authority and of power, and he has to start over from himself. And there's just like that wonderful story. The core story is him making these decisions and claiming more and more of his own authority, and then acquiring more and more authority. And then what do you do with that authority? Is he smashes the old king and installs himself as the ruler. Now, that's an ancient archetypal pattern. What happens when Paul Atreides becomes, the ruler of the known universe? Is it like it's all just destruction and death because of some reason? I never understood why everybody needs to die. I don't know why. That seems like the Herbert's perpetual liberal point of view, that all authority is bad, and we need to just have small little degrowth communities across the world where there's no centralization, because centralization in and of itself is bad. But the people who centralize will inherently conquer whoever's decentralized. So what do you do about that?
Well, I think that the problem is the seeking an endpoint, because it's going to swing in and out of balance. Those two forces are always going to be opposing one another. And so if you take anything to its conclusion, you end up with something that doesn't work anymore, because the tension and the balance is the is what you're always striving for, and it's impossible to hold. I don't know.
I think it's possible. I think
You
there are
do?
great men in
That lasts
history.
forever and ever. That can
No.
set something in place that just stays.
Well, I don't know what I don't know. Like when you tell your argument, it feels like you're rushing beyond the point, like
Okay.
beyond the point of like, well, what do we do in the moment?
Yeah.
Like it's like, okay, well, it's gonna fizzle. Well, okay, yeah, but what about like the great men coming up and doing a
What?
great job? Like Steve Jobs, he did a great job.
Did he
He
really?
did a fabulous job.
Did it really benefit us?
He did a fabulous job with what he wanted to do.
Yeah, but what did, yeah, okay.
I
That's a whole
mean,
nother
well, okay, like I
conversation.
don't know, Martha Stewart, Marie Kondo, like who's the hero of you? Are there no heroes?
Kurt Vonnegut.
The guy from Nirvana?
Yeah, the author. I don't know.
Okay, so an artist, a
Yeah,
writer.
yeah.
And did he, so he was more of a short story writer.
He wrote short stories. He
Yeah, I
wrote
guess he
longer
did
stories as well.
a couple of novels, right? Why do you think like so he's a man of achievement
I
for
guess
you?
stories. I don't know. What does a person need to achieve? Why does a life have to achieve so much?
Okay, see, now we're going back away from the okay, so there's no heroes. Like why even have a hero?
Yeah.
Like well, what is
Not my
the
father is a hero for
okay,
me.
so what is the quality of the hero?
Oh,
Like the
well,
admirable quality of a hero.
I guess that is a really good question.
If we're allowed to have heroes in this world.
I guess sensitivity, connection. Yeah, oh, goodness, virtue, self-restraint, a desire to connect and to teach and to be a part of other things outside of oneself. I don't know. This is a good question. I haven't thought about this. You're asking me on the spot. I'll have to think about
I got a that's a
it.
good question point. I should award myself every time somebody says that's a good question
Yeah,
because I'm really
you
proud of
should
those
put them
moments.
in on little
I
medals.
should. I should have a little notch in my bookcase and I took out this Bowie knife and I
Just
then
as
they're
it
like, wait,
happens.
yeah, as it happens, people are like, I was gonna
Yeah.
answer that, but like that was weird, that's strange. We kind of interrupt the flow. Don't want to interrupt the flow. It's all about the flow.
No, that's a good question.
Yeah. Well, so I think that this is a segue here, but I want to like open up the floor to what you want to talk
No,
about if you want to
it's
segue in a different way.
yeah, it's fine.
So there's this board game. It's called Dune Dash Imperium colon Uprising. And it's a 0.2, it's a 2.0 version of Dune Imperium, Dune Dash Imperium, or it might be Dune colon Imperium Dash Uprising. It doesn't really matter. And this is kind of a mixture of chess and what was I saying to my dad? So it's kind of like chess and it's kind of like Risk. It's kind of like Risk and chess. So it's a battle game and everybody has their own, their own side. So there's kind of it's there's
You
a
said it was chess with worms.
yeah, ch Risk and chess with worms. And you guys want to see a worm? Oh, I'd have to wait.
Oh
Where? Oh
no, you
yeah,
left one in my room.
I did leave one in your room. No, I brought it back. So here's the worm.
Oh my gosh, tell me, what do you guys think that looks like?
It's not a very shy halud.
Oh, Benjamin.
Oh my God,
Oh
that
my
was a good one. I
goodness.
just made that up.
Yeah. That's really good.
So in this board game, and it's a game, right? And the game is to defeat everybody else and get a certain amount of points. Like there's an end game, and the game starts pretty simple and very sparse. It's got this great arc where you're trying to get resources in order to achieve your goals, and you're changing out your deck. So you have a bunch of cards, and you're trying to get more power, and then you're trying to get more resources, and then you're fighting over these places on the board. And then at the end of every round, where everybody like kind of makes a few moves, then there's a conflict, and then you get rewards, and then you go again, you reset the board, and there's conflict and rewards. And in that, I think that there's a tie-in here. So like I get there's all the bad parts of it, which is really fun, and are the negative aspects of power.
Okay.
which is control. I'm going to control this thing, and I'm going to deny you your power. So like there's it's all confrontation, right? It's like I'm gonna it's there's an economic incentive structure to getting into blocking and to understanding where everybody else is to do that final action to see if you can win or to block them from winning. And so, you know, playing it with your boys and playing it with Jason Bradley came through and we played it, and Jason was still learning and stuff. But like there's this aspect of the game where it is very like dominate, we're dominating each other. We're like in a contest of domination. And we all kind of have limited amount of ability to do what we want to do. And you can see everybody like interacting with like that strategy. And one of your sons, Adrian, the younger one, is really good at strategy. Like he sees a picture in his head of where he wants to go, and he makes different steps. And the one of the times we played through the game, he got really frustrated because every time he tried to make a step, he got blocked. And then the game we were playing the other day, Jason kept on blocking me. I'm like, I have a plan. And then Jason's like, no, you can't do it. And he didn't do it intentionally. And I just started like, you know, like, oh. I was starting to get like rage, but like there's a difference between the game and like the humans there, you know. So I
The
express
meta
it
game.
in a dramatic manner, but I don't mean anything personal by it. And watching Adrian like deal with that frustration of not getting what he wants, and then dealing with defeat too, but also like hatching a plan and going through the step and like seeing him, like there's this. I don't know what you think about it because there's kind of this moral kind of questionableness about it because like that's cunning. He's learning cunning. He's learning not necessarily deceit, because you're not really lying, but it's selfish. It's cunning and stuff. But if you tie that to leadership, it's like I have to do this for my people. I have to do this for my group. I have to do this for my group. And I don't know if you think that the world can exist without that kind of selfishness, if it can just be like an open source, there's no scarcity at all. There's no fighting over resources, up to and including, like, there's no reason to lock our doors. There's no reason to have borders. We shouldn't have borders at all. Anybody can be anywhere, and nobody should have any property. I mean, to what degree do you start saying,
Well, I
no,
don't know, but
mine?
I don't know. This is interesting because it feels like there's kind of a false equivalency though, because you're saying
Okay.
if it's not this, then it's all of this. It's like everything possible downstream of that,
Well,
you know?
everything that we're experimenting with the game, and that's why the game works, is because it's dealing with actual human nature and the understanding that
Yeah,
humans
but
have
you
of
know what? There's
scarcity.
also we take on certain forms when we adopt certain roles in society.
Okay,
And so
this is an interesting paradigm that you have.
Yeah, well,
That's
it's not like in a game, you're still you. You're dipping into something, you're trying something out. So you're you experiencing these different pressures and forces and tensions and goals and ways of being blocked and all that, but you're still you doing that. If you actually take on a certain form. So think about so we talked today about preachers. We were talking about how in these
Protestant preachers.
These Protestant Christian churches, you get this kind of cult of personality around the preacher a lot of times. And
A lot of times, especially in the non-denominational
yeah, and
space.
I haven't, I mean, I've done some church shopping over the past, I don't know, 15 or 20 years, where I've tried probably, I don't know, like five or seven or eight churches. You know, over this time and gone to each one at least a few times or sometimes for a year or two and never found anything that perfectly fit. But one thing I've observed over and over is how it seems like the power structure, the attention structure, they have it has an effect on the person who's in charge of it. And you're usually looking at someone who's doing this for whatever noble reason that they started doing this, and they're a good person, but you can see them be shaped by the attention and the position that they're in, and you see that kind of cult of personality start to form. And I remember one of the last churches I went to, I really liked the pastor a lot. He was great. I really liked him, and I can remember going in and sitting there and I didn't even realize I was doing this because it was almost subconscious, but I was thinking, oh, I hope this doesn't happen to him. I kind of see it happening to him. I hope it doesn't happen to him. Kind of that getting full of himself and getting having that, I don't know. I hesitate to like put too fine a point on it, but maybe other
Or too
people
firm a
aren't
point, for that matter.
sure,
Yeah.
firm a point. Yeah, but it's something you kind of sense the way that this is changing the person. And another example might be the stories of child actors. is another one. Or famous people, that's a different kind of power because it's the power of attention, but it's still power because if you're very famous, then you're used to people doing things for you or giving you a certain social currency for being popular. So there's that power of popularity, and you can see how they change. It changes the person. So I don't think it's a neutral act that just amplifies some part of the person. I think that you're interacting and learning from your social environment in a very particular way. And so I don't disagree with you that there might be a role. And I saw somebody in here was saying something about needing a strong leader, like we need a strong Caesar figure and to save the US. We can probably find it and put it on the screen
No,
if
I
you
mean,
want to.
if
But
you go back to Aristotle, that's what he was
I
saying, and
don't
Plato.
disagree that
And that's what's
you
happened.
mean Aristotle's Philosopher Kings?
That was Plato. I think it was Aristotle who spoke about like the different forms of government and how they kind of
Oh,
creep into each other.
well, yeah, and I mean, I can see a role for that in particular eras and times, but I don't see it as a stable thing that you then think, oh, this is the kind of thing that would work for us. I think it's the kind of thing that can play a role, but can't be a persistent thing. It needs to become more. There are different.
What scale are you talking about? Because
I don't know.
that statement's
Do
true
you know
up until
that
it's not.
little phrase? It's a little saying that about strong men and good times.
Yeah. Strong men create good times. Good men create weak.
Good
Weak.
times
Good
make
times. Good
create weak
times
men.
create weak men. Weak men create bad times. Bad times create strong
Yeah,
men.
pretty much. So yeah, I mean, it's just the cyclical nature of things. But if we're talking about the benefits of one style of government over another, I think that it's really context dependent.
Well, I mean,
And I
we.
think that our major issue is not one of form, but of scale right now. That is, I keep coming back to that. I think we've tried to centralize too much. I think a really great microcosm of that is the school. When you think about a small group of people learning in a loving environment where everybody knows everybody and the teacher who's in charge of the education of the
They
students,
have
they have
relationships.
relationships and they listen and they hear the needs, and then you scale out just a little bit to the room where now it's being run very efficiently and very with efficiency in mind and with kind of a coldness and a less personal. So you've got students that raise their
No
hand and need to go to the
child left
bathroom.
behind.
Yeah, all the way to standardized testing and on until you have what we have right now, which is clearly completely falling
It's
apart.
trash.
But we talked about that last time, so I don't want to go back to the
Well, I mean,
schools.
okay, so I'll bring it back to, well, there's two different ways to go. One is that, and we brought this up earlier, when we get to this point in this discussion.
This is an ongoing discussion that we have all the
I'm like, okay, well then eat the bugs and degrowth.
time.
Okay, fine.
Well,
If you
why
don't,
do
if
the
you
bugs?
don't.
No, the bugs are part of the centralized. That's why we're eating Z bugs. That's who's putting Z bugs in the
Yeah, but they
world.
want to degrowth too. I mean, the ultimate thing is like to
Yeah,
curb people's freedom,
they
get
don't
them
want to
15
really
minutes
degrowth.
sentence,
They want everybody to
15 minute
be easier to
sittings in the
manage.
pod.
Real
No,
degrowth
they literally
means
want only
exit
50
this.
mil, 50 or 500 million people on the
Yeah,
planet.
but that's with someone in charge of all of that. That's not degrowth. That's increased power for a centralized
Okay, but
government.
if the problem is scale, then fix the scale. Is that the solution then? If we get to
Yeah,
that,
more people need to opt out and be more
opt out of life,
opt no.
sleep in the pod, go to
No. Opt out of
made in Canada,
the big bureaucratic systems.
do your
Be more
duty for the world.
self-sufficient.
The other aspect I can talk about what you were talking about power shaping the person,
That was
right?
an interesting sentence.
And you, yeah, thank you. Sorry. You said that earlier in a discussion I think we had off camera about, people elect officials expecting the officials to be one of them. And then time and time again, the role shapes
The role, yeah, the form,
the
they take the
form.
form
They take the form
of
of
the role.
the role. And so, but I was thinking about that not being bad itself. Like in a other model of society, you have the aristocracy where people are born into privilege, and there is a relationship between the different classes. And that relationship between the different classes doesn't necessarily have to be exploitative or based on exploitation. So you have the landed gentry whose pride and honor is to manage the estate, and the estate includes all of the people on that estate, and they have a patrician relationship
That's a
with them.
pretty big assumption.
I think that that is the model of feudal
That
Europe.
sounds like an idealized
Okay.
version of that.
I'm just saying that the relationship doesn't need to be based on exploitation.
I mean, if people are perfect, maybe,
Well,
but you
okay,
don't
but
think that
people
it
are, well,
would.
so I know, so we're at the point where we can't talk about this thing because people are perfect, and anytime you try to change something, it's just going to fall apart. It's like, okay, well, but what about the story? What about the
The
relationship? What about
story's
the
great.
solutions? What about the ways that people, we have to have power. I don't think that we can get away without having power.
I guess it's just a different way of conceptualizing it, because I just see it as a tug of war. It's a perpetual rebalancing, and there's not an end point that makes sense. All of these things make sense as little subplots. All of these things will come be necessary at certain points and not helpful at other points. But I don't know. It doesn't make sense to me to just talk about one particular form as being idealized over other forms. They're all going to play in and
Okay.
out of each other.
Okay.
I don't know.
There's just interesting things to inspect in these different forms.
Yeah.
But if we keep on saying, well,
Okay.
any form is just not, because there's
No.
this other form over here. Like, okay, well, let's look over there. Well, but there's this form over
So
here. It's like,
this is the
okay.
point in the conversation when Benjamin gets really frustrated
Well,
with
I
me.
just I, like I want to win.
I
I want to win, and
knew
you're not. You're like you're caught. You're worm blocking me. You're flicking my worm.
Oh,
Flow with me, lady.
God. I
Okay.
love
I'm
you.
sorry, I love you too. Sorry if we sound frustrated or if I
No,
sound
he
frustrated.
just
Can I ask
gets
you a
you get
question?
frustrated with me. Yeah.
What is this for?
It looks like it's broken, but it's
Oh.
a cutter. See, they're not lining up. It's
Well,
a cutter for.
they just need to go over there.
Okay. Then it's not broken. It's a cutter. It's a.
Not sure you point that cut out.
It's a for needle felt
And
ease.
now we do the bris of Shai Halud.
No, you can do that if you want to. It's for I bought it for needle felting because I do little wool animals.
Oh, really?
Have you seen them?
No.
You haven't?
No, you should break them out.
Oh,
I
I don't
guess
know.
it'd be
They're
hard
probably
to.
in the boys' room.
Okay, we'll have to remember to get those out and do
Yeah,
some crafty things.
well, Julian got into needle felting a few years ago. He wanted to learn about it, so I got into it with him because I thought, well, that looks interesting, and so we ended up making a lot of little animals.
I wanted to show.
What are you looking for?
Oh, you sent me an email of one of your photos because you were
Oh
thinking about
no, what
doing
is
it. You're
it?
not ready.
What
Well,
is
one of
it?
your pictures. Like I thought, because
Oh,
we talk
oh.
about my things that I like to talk about, but we never talk about the things that you like to talk about, such as crafts and drawings. And you want to make a coloring book. And
Well, I did. I made a coloring book a few years ago, but oh, it's probably that one.
is it this one?
Yeah, that's just a little doodle.
It's
I have
this
all
little
these
dude.
plain
Yeah,
dry leaves.
it won't. I didn't. Ready.
You didn't get ready.
I'll get that ready, and we can shill some merch. We need to shill some merch.
Yeah.
They're really pretty drawings that you make,
Well, thank you.
and they're good for drawing and
Thank you. I
coloring.
spent a couple years doing line drawings that I was creating for specifically to make coloring books. And then I put together two, and they were just, I did one and I made a whole bunch of copies of it that just self-published
Yeah.
myself and sold all of them. So I don't have any of them left. And I have enough to do a second one, and now I have this set of airplane drawings that I've been doing.
Airplanes.
Because I just draw on airplane. No, I draw
Oh,
when I'm
okay.
on
Yeah, because I'm
airplanes.
like, oh, that's
No,
interesting. That's
no,
not
they're not of
because your
airplanes.
son is drawing airplanes.
Yeah,
He's
no,
drawing too.
it's just drawings while on airplanes. And I was thinking about doing a third coloring book of those.
Speaking of airplanes, we will be in Austin next weekend. If anybody wants to meet up with us, maybe I can put that out. We can
Well, I
have
think
a.
we're going to Mines Fest.
Well, yeah, but that's just one or the whole weekend.
No, that's just one
So
night.
maybe Sunday or something like that,
Yeah.
I'm thinking. Well, we'll float that. We can talk about that. It'd be nice to have a meetup because we had one in Seattle. It'd be
So
nice to.
I don't know if it's because I'm hungry, but I
Oh.
keep wanting to know why you named it Snacks Positive. And why does monogamy come into the
Well, it's
Snacks
the song that I'm going to
Positive?
sing at the end.
Oh, is it? Is that what this is about?
Yeah. I might have already
Are you
sang it, though.
Snacks Positive?
Are you snacks positive?
What does it mean to be snacks positive?
Well,
Does it mean all snacks are okay and there's no, never a bad
okay, you're
snack?
snacks choosy. You're
Snacks
snacks particular. You're
selective.
snacks selective. It's like a serial monogamous. I'm snacks selective.
Cereal,
Yeah.
like a crunchy cereal.
Yeah. I'll just sing the song while you look through chat if you want.
Oh, look. Hi, Jen. Nice to see you on here. Yeah. So, are you thinking about snacks?
No, it was just we came up with that
Okay.
snacks positive.
Oh, so it doesn't have anything to do with anything we're going to talk about. You're not going to
Well, I
delight me
don't.
with like food except for the George R.R. Martin quick.
There's something I'm not gonna
Okay, don't
say.
say it.
Let's
What else is
see.
on
I'm
your
trying
mind?
to be a good person for
What
you,
is
Leslie, and
it?
it's so hard.
Is it?
Like I want the clicks, but then we lost for
Oh,
some reason.
jeez.
We got yellowed out. I think we
What do
caught.
you mean? What did we
Well,
do?
we got yellowed out. I think we used the F one of the F words or
Oh, you
something like
must have
that.
done
I
that.
must have done
It
that.
wouldn't have.
I was being a little. I was being a
You
little
kind of like to be in
loose
trouble.
and goosey.
That's something about
I
you.
like to be a little in trouble, like not a lot in
You
trouble.
get a lot in trouble.
I haven't in a while.
No,
Well,
with the feminists?
yeah, with the feminists.
Yeah.
I kind of miss them in a
Oh,
way.
well.
I'm thinking about just bringing it up with my channel. I'm thinking about easing back. Well, I want to ease back from content creation for the summer and focus on taking all of my DTrans interviews and turning them into a book. And cleaning that all up and really concentrating on making a nice book of these really beautiful stories of the detransitioners and, making it available to people. Because I think that the insight that I have procured out of my guests, not necessarily my own insight, but their insights that I have, I've summoned, I've evoked, I think is really, and could potentially be very impactful for the entire gender conversation. Because the
Yeah.
gender, like you say, gender doesn't really make any sense in and of itself. But the stories of human beings struggling with it, I think, are just so real. And that
Yeah.
really puts the it really takes the ideology
Oh,
out of it. It
yeah.
really just deflates it. And so I don't think I have the capacity to be interviewing, like to do that interview thing as much as possible and do the writing thing. It's so laborious to go through all this writing and stuff. So I'm thinking of kind of trying to ease back from content creation for the summer. And
Yeah,
I
that
don't even
makes
know that
sense.
what that looks like because I'll still be
Maybe it
doing
looks like you
content.
do one like a week
Yeah.
break where you just do a bunch of interviews and then other and then dole them out
Yeah.
a couple times a week.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's I think that it's really important what you're talking about with the detrans interviews because it so humanizes everything. It humanizes that whole experience for people on both sides. So there could be it's a cautionary tale to some, but it's also a window into why somebody would fall into this for people who would feel really resistant to understanding that. So I think it's really beautiful.
You know what? I
What?
think you're really happy
Why?
because you're like, this is my idea all along. This is my idea all
No, it just seems
along.
like such a great collection. I think
This
that
was my
I
idea,
think
and you say in my idea. You
No.
won as a woman. You
No.
like you planted the seed and then you watched Napoleon like take over Russia.
I
Maybe that's a bad example.
don't want you to take over Russia.
Okay. But the Austrian territories are
No. I think it's
I
okay if you
can't
don't.
take
No.
the
No,
Austrian.
but you can feed the chickens.
What? That's so emasculate. I'm going back to Shia
No, I see you out there petting the chickens.
I
It's very
they
sweet.
take the position. It's like they do. They stick their butt up, and I'm like, oh, okay, I'll put you. Like they want their little rooster attention time. Nobody else is giving it to. This is kind of being a little too much, but. Like you just like they really are. I don't know what happened, but you turned me into a chicken lord, and I love my chickens. Like Paul Atreides loves the Fremen. And I want to like take the chickens out and like wreak havoc on the known universe and pick out the eyes of the emperor. And like take his place and have a little like chicken wing fight with the bald dude.
Oh my gosh, it's a pecking order. Okay. Oh, that's cute. Looking at these comments. Good grief. That's a good name.
What was the good thing that you thought of? Like we came up with
Oh,
a.
a snactual.
Oh, are you a snactual? Let's
Then
talk about
waves at
snacks,
women.
baby.
I'm offended.
No, I want to
He
wave.
wants to
I
wave at
want
women.
to.
Oh, Wooksy is auto snactual. What does
Oh.
that mean? He eats himself.
Well, I mean, there's a lot of things that like get like attached to the body and like form up in the toes and stuff like that, and you can just like
Ew.
pick them out
That's,
over the
yeah, okay.
years
I
and
like snack entity. That's a good name.
snackety.
Demi snacks.
Demi snacksual.
Yeah, snacks positive. Yeah, that's pretty funny.
Let's talk about snacks, baby. Let's talk about chips and cheese. Let's talk about all the apples and the oranges that we eat. Let's talk about snacks. Let's talk about snacks. Let's talk about snacks. Let's talk about snacks.
Yeah, that's a good song. I
Thank
remember
you.
when you sang it to that girl.
Yeah, I got in trouble. That
Yeah,
was the
you
first time
did.
I got in trouble with you.
I don't know if it was trouble. Was it trouble?
Let's not go back
Okay.
there. Let's not go back there. So, I
Did
do feel like we've run out of things to talk about.
we?
Yeah,
Okay.
because like I can't talk
Yeah.
about power.
Yeah.
Power.
That's good.
What do you want to talk
Well,
about?
you said you wanted to talk about the yellow pylons.
Oh, the yellow pylons. No, I mean that was just something that could have come up, but it didn't come up.
Well, but I think that that's something kind of interesting.
Well, there was a bit on Twitter that
Yeah.
came from TikTok about this girl who wanted to know why banks install these yellow pylons.
Those yellow
I think she
poles, yeah.
called them
She
poles.
poles.
And because like it's hard to see them and you run into them and then you have to run over them and it just damages your car. And the whole bit, I think it was a bit, she was just so incredibly
Ditzy.
dumb.
But this is the thing that I think that that's what's really interesting about that is the way that it's, you put yourself out there, and it maybe it was comedy. I kind of hope that was actual comedy. Like maybe she did that for to present that
Or the
character.
lols, as the kids say.
Maybe. But if it wasn't, I don't know, there's something kind of sad about these videos that get shared around and
Oh,
ridicule and
okay.
how we ridicule them, you know? And even
Well, I mean, is
isn't
it
that a strange
ridicule?
thing? I mean,
Well, is it
what does that
ridicule, though?
contribute to people?
Well, not to act that way. Like, these are desirable traits, these are undesirable traits.
Yeah.
I mean, I understand. I
Okay.
don't like to indulge in that myself, but I can see the social necessity. But just
But
at
on
scale,
again scale.
like
Yeah.
that's why I stopped participating in pylons, yellow or otherwise.
Pile-ons or
Yeah.
pylons.
That was the
Oh,
joke.
that's good. That's very
You
good.
have to pet the worm now. Because you
Oh,
explained the
I
joke.
have not yet pet the worm.
You explained the joke, you have to pet the worm.
Okay.
Okay, there we go. Okay.
You're so silly.
What were we
This
talking
is the
about?
silly end.
Pylons. Okay, so who cares if I'm one more voice disc? If it's like a news organization and I come up with something clever, then I'll do that, you know. I'll comment, you know, or I'll share something, you know. But I saw in my Twitter activity that that stuff sticks to me when I'm like, you know, sharing pictures of people being stupid. It kind of sticks to me. And so if I can't do it with wit and grace, which is what I mean by wit, like cruelty with grace, that is what wit is in its dark
Cruelty
aspect.
with
Yes.
grace.
In its darker aspect, but there's a lighter aspect that when I'm not making fun of you, but making fun with you, you know, those two. Yeah. When I'm not actually getting in trouble, I'm just making you feel good with my words and stuff like that. Yeah. So, cruelty, with grace. It's necessary. It
I
does,
don't
it
know if I agree with
serves.
your definition, but I'm following you.
I'm just making it up
Okay.
off the top of my head. I'm speaking out of my ass, but it is a part of the social fabric. And it is also how I got on the stage, is that these incredibly stupid people did incredibly cringy things. And then I showed it and I humanized them as much as possible, you know? And in a certain respect, the whole transgender thing is very laughable. You have all these pronouns, you want to cut your dick off? Like, what the fuck are you doing? But like, there's these human beings that are struggling for love.
Yeah.
They're struggling for love. And sometimes, like, when they're watching a Taylor Swift song on TikTok and they're drooling and sobbing at the same time, you're like, I'm not going to comment on that, but people shouldn't behave that way. And I want somebody to mercilessly point at them
Yeah.
so that they correct themselves.
Yeah.
Correct yourself. You need
Yeah.
correction. And if you're putting yourself out there looking for love, but lo not looking for love, but looking for likes, and you start acting like an idiot, I think that the system, the human culture, the pushback is a natural
Wow.
corrective.
That's interesting, and I agree with you, except I do wonder about,
You're too nice.
it's not about being nice so much as, you see what cancel culture does to people.
Yeah.
And that's just, what is that? That's internet mobbing. That's a bunch of people mocking you. That's a bunch of people you don't know. And it's the sense that your reputation is trash and that you're irredeemable
Yeah.
socially. And so that experience, well, when we think about cancel culture, we think about that being related to some view that you have that is out of vogue with the people who are upset about it. But doesn't that also apply to just somebody who did a little bit of a stupid thing and then published it? I mean, yes, maybe there should be a social pushback. It's kind of like, did you do something stupid on the road? Well, you got honked at and you felt a little embarrassment, so you corrected.
Yeah,
You're not
yeah,
gonna do that
yeah.
again. But when it comes in, something that you do that's stupid goes viral,
Yeah.
it's really kind of a harsh punishment. But yes, you did ask for it by putting it
Yeah, I mean, you're playing
online.
with fire.
But also, it's just, what is that force that we're playing with? That sort
You're
of,
playing with
again, it comes
attention.
back to scale.
And it comes back to inhabiting a form. Is the form you're inhabiting cringe? Then choose a different form. Maybe you'll get less likes and less hates. Or maybe you want the hates, like Jeffrey Marsh or Dylan Mulvaney or whatever.
Yeah,
Like they want
it
that. They
must,
want it.
yeah, it must be really incredible to be subject to those forces, to be playing with that, like the Jeffrey Marsh guy, he's a scary character,
I just
but
stopped sharing him because he was
yeah,
designed to be
I don't,
shared
I,
it
yeah.
with loathing.
Yeah.
Like, no, don't give him attention, guys.
Yeah.
He's obviously a
It's, but
narcissist.
what is going on with a person like that? That's really interesting.
I don't know. You meet some messed up people. I had this interview that I'll be publishing this week, and it was a man who loathed himself as a man. He was taught that men are bad, and he internalized that, and he projected that on to he processed that or sublimated that into being wanting to be a woman, and he transitioned beholden to this idea of gender and not understanding, as he puts it, that gender wasn't something he was born with. It's something that he developed as a coping mechanism for trauma that he had with regard to his primary caregiver and what she imprinted on him. And then he goes through the process of realization of that. And it's such a beautiful interview. And he's so I didn't know who he was going to be. And I'm like, okay, this guy's trans, detrans. There is a high likelihood of middle-aged man going through transition and detransition that he is a narcissist. There's a high likelihood that of some sort of dark triad thing, but that's not necessarily the case anytime. And I will know that right away. But I just like don't want to hang out with those people because they just like they are energy vampires, as Alex Jones would say. It didn't turn out to be that way. He turned out to be very sincere, very honest, a little bit nervous, and he got comfortable and it really opened up. And it was I forgot where I was going with this. Just this.
That's a really meaningful conversation.
Well, I mean, I guess it, with regard to cringe content, and with regard to that which is ridiculous and is ridiculed and is dragged through the mud, I think a lot of people aren't being real, and they're looking for something that they're looking for reality somewhere where there's no reality, and so they act in ways or they behave in ways that's just not proper and it's not good, and they either fall in love with the negative attention and learn how to thrive on that, learn how to do the conversion of negative into positive inside. They're like, okay, I'm getting all this hate, but it's still attention, and they do some sort of conversion, but it doesn't help them become real. So sometimes that ridiculing helps somebody. It's a harsh help, and I don't like to perform that unless I can like phrase it in a way with grace, or that I can bring some insight into it, or I can just wait for them to kind of change and then show their story, from a human aspect of it. But the process of becoming real is hard enough when you are being sincere. Even when you are being sincere, you still have to deal with so much of your own bullshit. Like anybody who goes on the path of like actual self-development, like what you realize, like I'm going to be sincere is like, oh, I'm fake there and I'm fake here and I'm wanting something that is just out of order of what I should be wanting. I'm putting myself outside of myself rather than like doing the work of like, and then you go through the process of like vomiting up and seeing your shit and then like feeling shame for that, and then the shame can stick you there Or you can convert the shame into like, okay, I need to do something about this. Okay, I don't want to be this way. I'm embarrassed by this. I don't want to be this way anymore. And a last point, like working with preschoolers as much as I did, you know, they're not cognizant of themselves and they need to learn a little bit of shame. A little bit of shame, like a little bit of like, oh, I shouldn't be that way. Oh, it's embarrassing that way. You know, it's embarrassing to be like the loudest, most annoying person at the table. It's really embarrassing. And nobody likes to be around you. And so you're blocking yourself off. So you have to control yourself. And like, you can't really tell a kid to control. You can authoritarianly imprint that on them. I don't think that's effective. You can softly say, that is annoying. Please don't do that. Or like when you do that, it makes it really hard to hang out with you, you know. But then like eventually just kind of give them like kind of eventually they have to see themselves. Eventually you have to provide the last point. I would see kids, little kids, like when I was working in the toddler room, they come in and they were just in a bad mood. They were just in a really bad, they were off, and they were just like things weren't working well with them. And like I would try, like at first when I saw that, I would try to correct them in some way, you know, like I'd either try to help them or try to hinder them from acting this way. They could just would act out more and more and more. And then I'm like, okay, just observe, just watch. And invariably, this kid would be really off and like just really aggravated, and they would fall down or something would happen where they would break into the environment and the environment would smash them. And then they would get all that chaos would finally have a reason to come out of them. It would all come out of them in this big whaley storm. And then they'd be put,
Catharsis.
but they did that to themselves, or like God did that. You know, like what I mean by God is just like they were put in a place and then the environment, they summoned something and then they were helped. But like nothing as a human could have done to do. I can't intercede on behalf of that process of becoming self-aware or self-corrected. But it's really wonderful to see that, you know, if you can bear witness to somebody in such a way and bear witness to the circumstances, you're actually helping them by just being with them. And so that they can understand, like, they don't have to panic because they're not alone, but they're still facing their own shit. You know, it's like, well, this is your shit. I can't do it for you, but you have to do it, you know. But I'm here.
Yeah, I think that's really interesting. That's a really important thing, like when you talk about the shame of the social response that puts you, that holds a mirror up to you, like the ridicule.
Yeah.
Well, I think that that other element of having a sense that there's a that something has you, that you have the strength in yourself to be able to withstand that, or you have somebody with you, or there's somebody who will understand you. I think that that's important also. And so that's one of the problems. And I don't mean to just go right back to that other discussion, but just to bring what you were saying back into that, I think that's one of the problems with scale, with the cancel culture and these kinds of public viral ridicule things that happen, is that how do you provide a counter to that for yourself when it's happening on such a large scale? How are you able to have somebody to be with you when it feels like everybody thinks you're
Well,
ridiculous?
step one, turn off the phone.
Turn off the phone. Yeah.
Step two, take a walk, breathe. Step three, actually build real relationships with real
That
people.
was the coolest thing about the Tucker interview to me, was to
What?
find out he doesn't have a TV and he doesn't use email and da da da.
Yeah, he
A
doesn't
lot
like
of what he said was kind of
vaccines
weird, but
either.
a lot of what he said was weird, but
You guys are total buddies.
I don't know about that. But he's okay, but I really was impressed that he's that analog in his life.
I really appreciated just how in the Tucker Carlson Joe Rogan interview, and I don't watch a lot of Joe Rogan. I don't watch a lot of Tucker, you know. But like this there's something, it was interesting. There was a sound bit or two. I'm like, I'm gonna listen to it, and I had a project to do. I was just doing some stupid gaming things. It's really nice to do, but
No, not stupid. You shouldn't say
I
that.
know,
Those
I
good
know.
things.
It's I have this hobby and anyways, but
You're
and it's good
embarrassed
for
by your
me.
hobby.
Well, I'm embarrassed for having a hobby, but also I need something where I can just
I
be
think it's
busy
great.
and actually listen to a podcast, because all of my work and everything that I do is so vocal intensive and I have to listen that I can't like listen to a podcast while I'm editing a podcast, you know. So
Yeah,
it's like,
yeah,
why would I
yeah.
do that?
You have to focus. Look at this.
But the way he leaned into truth.
Some people say Brett Weinstein did the same song and improvised lyrics for his wife in one of their streams. He had the
Okay,
same
listen.
idea as you.
Listen.
Look, Miroir says Brett Weinstein did this exact same
Hey,
thing.
listen, listen, listen. I wrote that song in 2007 or 8, okay? And I probably sang it to Brett at some point because he has blood
So
sugar
it came from you.
issues. Maybe
Yeah,
not, I don't know.
you sang it to that girl a year, almost a year ago, because there was this cute girl
I didn't think she
on.
was that
She
cute.
was pretty cute.
She
She
was a
was.
snack hoe.
That's what we. That's one.
That's what we
That's
called
what we
her.
called it
She
afterwards.
was
It was
being a snack
not that she
hoe.
was a hoe, but you were like, you sang her
There
the
was,
song and
I
you
did.
posted it
I
on
did.
YouTube,
I
and
thought it
then I
was
was like.
funny. No, it was Twitter,
I
but
said, oh yeah, Twitter, yeah. I
you were
said,
standing in line, you're in Iceland.
I was in the airport and I
Yeah.
said, oh, I just saw this thing that you posted, and you know that's a song about sex that you're singing to a cute girl online. That makes me feel some kind of way. And then but you didn't get into that much trouble.
Well, I mean,
You just
we were
feel,
really early. We were really early. And I'm like, okay, I can't do that anymore. I was allowing myself to be flirty Benjamin. And I
You
have to.
you waved at her.
I actually, no, I honked the horn at her. And I realized, like, okay, like, that's improper. That's embarrassing. That's cringy for me to do. And it's embarrassing for you.
was
To
nice of
see
you.
me giving attention to that. I looked at my personality, my online persona. I'm like, okay,
Stop honking the
I
horn.
have to stop honking the horn. I have to stop being that way. And so I'm gonna have to change my person, my internet personality. I think I've been doing okay. I just leave that part alone. Like when, childish
When you
things
want to
happen.
wave, you don't. What's that called? There's a word for that.
You said something interesting today, and we should probably wrap up this thing.
Uh-oh. What
You're
did I
like,
say?
you said,
Do I want to know?
I don't know if people want to hear this.
No. What
You
is it?
said
Tell me
we
after.
went into this
Oh
wonderful.
no,
Did you
what is it
bring
gonna
in the
be?
food, actually? We
Yeah, I
went to
did.
this wonderful little noodle shop. It was called
Noodle.
Bang Bang, and we had these noodles, and the curry sauce was really
That was
good.
super
It
good.
was really good. It was in Seattle. We were in Seattle. And you're like,
Oh
you can
no.
flirt with waitresses if you want.
Oh yeah, that's right.
Yeah, that's what you said. I'm like, well, I maybe someday, maybe in
Because
10
it's
years.
cute. You flirt with waitresses in a kind of, I mean, I guess I don't know what your version of flirting with wait,
I'm really
but
good.
what I've seen,
I mean, I'm well
it's very
behaved.
sweet. It's not like there's not a suggestion in
There's no
it.
desire.
It's just you're playful, and I don't, that doesn't bother me. I think that's really sweet. It's cute.
Yeah, well, I mean, you organize your
It's
priorities and
snacks
you're
positive.
I'm trying to be snacks positive, but you have to be in a stable dining relationship so that dinner doesn't get threatened by the snack, you've had kids. You're like, don't eat too much, you're gonna ruin your dinner. That's why you don't snack too much. But like you can be like snack moderate,
Well, yeah, I guess so. Well, what's the snack?
That's
I
the
mean,
joke.
fix the metaphor for me.
Pet Chalud.
Oh, jeez. All right.
Right. You guys are wonderful. We're going to be in Austin this week. I'm going to try to get some content done, but I have some interviews in the pipes. I'll be on Leslie's channel tomorrow for the Radical Center. Hopefully, we get
For
Etta
solid
on.
ground, yep.
Solid ground, I
Well,
mean.
we don't know yet. We'll see. We'll
We're
see.
going to
We'll
try to
do.
get a fourth guest going on, but maybe
Yeah, it
we
might
can
just be a
chat.
little hangout with Deborah.
Yeah.
Do a
With
little
Deborah
chat.
Filmon, and that'll be
No,
tomorrow at
Deborah Knox.
Deborah Knox.
Yeah. Deb Philman is a
Sorry,
different person.
Deborah.
Although, yeah, if she wants
Okay.
to come, she's welcome.
Okay. I don't know why I thought that, but that'll be at 10 a.m. in the morning on a Monday, Pacific time. Otherwise, I have some interviews coming up the pipes, and we'll be in Austin,
San Antonio and Austin.
San Antonio, and then Austin next weekend. And so maybe I'll post something if we talk about it and we want to hang out. Maybe we'll want to slink around. I don't know what it's like there. Apparently, Leslie grew up there and she doesn't want to move back.
That's pretty hot and trafficky.
Yeah. And I'm not a fan of traffic unless I'm the master of it. We should talk about my driving someday.
Oh, well, that's for another
Okay.
day.
That's for another day. And I might want to go back to professionally driving someday. And so we should probably keep that
Oh, yeah.
off
Oh,
the
yeah. It's
docket.
probably a
You
good
guys have a
idea.
wonderful time. This is the Deep End, number 16, Snacks Positive Monogamy with Benjamin Boyce and Leslie Elwood.
Have a good week, y'all.